tonight, John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And I want to read four verses of scripture tonight, preach a brief message, and then we want to show this presentation before we go home tonight. John chapter number 6. And we'll have you stand just for the reading of God's word. And then notice with me in verse number 34. John 6 and verse number 34. The Bible says, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Father, I ask if you would to bless the reading of thy word. I ask you to help us these next few moments and speak to our hearts and get glory and honor. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on a contradiction to Calvinism. Now, I don't spend a lot of time studying false doctrines because I think if we preach the truth and we learn the truth and we know the truth tonight, then the truth is all that we have to hold to. Amen? Truth will always expose error in other people's lives and also in our lives as well. And so when we come to this text tonight, I want you to notice something here. I see the desire of the sinner. The Bible says in verse number 34, the desires of the sinner. The Bible said, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." Now, Calvinism teaches that there are some that have been elected to be saved, there's some, and to go to heaven, hyper-Calvinism that is, and some teach that, and it teaches that some have been elected to go to heaven, others have been elected to go to hell, and that the sovereignty and the providential hand of God is at work in all things, and that you and I have no control, no will over anything, and that whatsoever, and that God's will is going to be done in the end. So ultimately, it doesn't matter if I pass out a track. It doesn't matter if I tell anybody about Jesus. Somehow, some way, those that are born and predestinated to go to heaven will hear the gospel. They'll be saved. They'll go to heaven. And those that have been predestinated to go to hell, there's not anything we could do about it anyway. They'll hear a general call, but they'll not get a specific call, and they will die and go to hell. Now, listen, the only problem with Calvinism tonight is that you never get Calvinism from reading the Bible. Amen. You've got to read after Calvinists in order to become a Calvinist. And so you don't find any of that teaching that I just mentioned there in the Word of God. In fact, the scripture that we have read tonight is a contradiction to everything that I just told you. They take the tulip theory and they take it to far beyond limitations, the total depravity of man, the irresistible grace of God, and all of these things that they teach. And I'm not going to spend time tonight diving into the false doctrine of Calvinism, but what I do want to show you tonight is that what Jesus said in this text here is contrary to anything and everything that they teach tonight. When we come to this text, we see the desires of the sinner, sinners in verse 34, as they said, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Now, these sinners are coming and they want the bread of life. They want this bread that comes from heaven. Amen. And what I want you to see tonight is that Jesus Christ never turned anybody away that ever came to him. And he'll say more about that in just a moment. But tonight, if you want to be saved, then you can be saved. Amen. If you tonight want to accept Jesus Christ, I've got good news for you. He's already accepted you. Amen. If you'll take him and receive him as your Savior, he's already chosen you. My friend, before the foundations of this world, he chose every man, woman, boy, and girl. And when we think about predestination tonight, it's always in the life of saints. But if we were going to put it in the lives of sinners, we would say it like this, that Christ predetermined and predestined Calvary, my friend, and he made a way for every man, woman, boy, and girl to hear, my friend, to receive the gospel and to be saved. Amen. And so we see the desires of the sinners in this text. And
And then we notice the declaration of the Savior in verse 35. Jesus saith unto them, notice this person here. He said, I am the bread of life. Amen. I mean, he started talking about the bread of God in the verses preceding this. And these sinners come to him and they say, Lord, would you give us this bread? And Jesus said, I want you to know I am the bread of life. He makes a declaration, and that declaration is all about his person. Tonight, listen, salvation is not in a plan. It is more than a plan, but salvation is in a person. Amen. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I ought to understand tonight that our salvation is not me following a plan, but it is me trusting in a person, in him. Amen. He is the bread of life. And in this declaration, he not only talks about his person, but he does give his plan. What is his plan? Look at it. He said, I am the bread of life, and here's the plan. He that cometh to me. Amen. You know what his plan is tonight? Is that you would come to him. Amen. And I'll tell you what else his plan is tonight. Look at that verse again. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Now look at this. He that believeth on me. What is God's plan for my life? What is God's plan for your life? What is God's plan for every sinner's life? Is number one, that they would come. Number two, that they would believe. Isn't that what Jesus said? And with that plan, he gives a promise. Amen. He said, he that cometh to me, he said, he'll never hunger. Amen. He that believeth on me, he said, shall never thirst. Jesus said this, I want to make a declaration. You want to hear about the bread of God? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And if you'll come and you'll believe, thank God you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. Isn't that true tonight? What a promise we have in Jesus. Amen. And my friend, our salvation tonight is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, our trust is in him tonight. And when we look at this text, we see the desire of the sinner. We see the declaration of the Savior here. But when we come to our text, I want you to see the design of salvation. Jesus is going to take it a step further. He's going to talk a little more about salvation. And when we get to verse 36, look what he says. He said, but I say unto you that ye also have seen me, and look at this phrase, and believe not. Now, Calvinism says you don't really have a choice, that it's already been predetermined. Calvinism teaches tonight that false doctrine. But Jesus says, he that believeth in me shall what? Never thirst. But in the next verse, he tells this crowd here, he said, you've seen me and you believe not. You see, that crowd had a choice. They were making a choice. They were choosing not to believe him. He is the bread of God. He is the bread of life. He is making it clear. He is making the plea. He is sending out the message. He is giving the plan. With the plan, he's giving a promise. If you'll come, if you'll believe, I promise you'll never thirst, and I promise you'll never hunger again. But he said, you've made a choice. You've seen me, but you choose not to believe. You know, I'm saying a lot of things in these sermons on purpose. I'm repeating myself on purpose. I want you to understand that. You say, Brother Gravely, why? It seems like sometimes you're saying the same thing in every sermon. Exactly. You know why? Because that's how it's going to sink in with some people tonight. He that cometh to me, he that believeth on me. Is that not what we've seen through these scriptures over and over? You see, there's not five different ways to be saved. Amen. If I preach salvation this Sunday and I preach it last Sunday and I preach it next Sunday, I may give you a different outline, but the content's always going to be the same. Amen. Salvation does not change from week in and week out. If you want to be saved, the number one, you got to come. If you want to be saved, number two, you got to believe. And God give you the choice. And Jesus said, I am the way. All you've got to do is step out and come and believe, friends. Are you willing to do that tonight? You see, when someone chooses not to believe, it's by their own will. God give every man a will. He made him a free moral agent. He has the ability to take, as we mentioned this morning, that measure of faith and put it, deposit it wherever he wants to put that. He can put it in the Word of God. He can put it in the work of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can put it in himself, as I said this morning. And this crowd was choosing. They were seeing. They was hearing, but they were not believing. I've seen people scoff the message, hadn't you? Come to church, hear the sermon preached. Hear the Word of God has been preached to them. And as they hear it preached, listen, they choose to not listen. They choose not to hear what is said. They say, maybe I don't like that or I don't believe that. Wait, a lot of times when you pass out a tract and invite somebody and you begin to give them the gospel, they'll say something to you like this. Well, that's personal. In other words, what they're really saying is, I don't want to hear it. Amen. That's what they're really saying to you. Salvation is personal. Amen. And sometimes they'll say, well, I just don't believe that religious stuff, or I don't do religious thing. What they're saying is they choose not to believe. Amen. But if they'll open their heart just a little bit to the gospel and hear the gospel, there's an opportunity for them to be saved. That's why we should never give up on anybody. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, there's hope for the hopeless. Amen. And if we give the gospel to someone, we never know how it's going to take root in their heart and in their life. Amen. I want to say tonight, when we come to this text, verse 37, I mentioned at the close of the message this morning, I went home this afternoon, and as I just kindly this evening, my mind kept meditating on this verse. And I want to look at this verse tonight because it is one of the key verses that Calvinism uses. But it's really a great verse, isn't it, tonight? Because it's a great verse because our Savior spoke these words. And oftentimes what happens is with false teachers and false doctrine is they take scriptures out of context. And when they use scriptures out of context, what happens oftentimes is that if we hear it enough, if we're not careful, we'll have a tendency to shy away from it. What you have to do with verse number 37 is you have to put it right in the context of the chapter. You have to look at the whole chapter, not just the one verse. Now, tonight, we're not going to look at the whole chapter. You can read it when you go home, but I would say this to you tonight, that in this chapter, Jesus begins in verse number 22, or down in verse number 26, and he begins to talk about the bread of life. You can go back to verse number 22 and begin reading about that, and he begins to talk about the bread of life. And if you look down in verse number 44, he says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Amen. And what I want you to see tonight is this, is that my friend Christ came to this world, who the Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 7, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, he said that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his longsuffering to us were not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. Amen. And so God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, my friend, all had a work in salvation, and they want every man to come and to be saved. Amen. And so, my friend, when we think about this text tonight, listen, he that cometh to me, or no man, he says, can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. So now let's go back up to verse 37. I want you to see some things tonight in this verse that Christ says concerning salvation. I want you to see, first of all, the all here. He said, all that the Father giveth me. When we think about salvation tonight, and we want to look at it through God's lens. We want to look at it through God the Father's focus. Amen. Who is God interested in being saved? It's in that first word there. It's the word all tonight. You see, when you read about salvation, it includes all, amen, all that the Father hath given me. We'll say more about that phrase in just a moment. As we go back to John 3 and verse 16, I want to keep quoting that verse. For whosoever, that means anybody, that means everybody, that means the whole world. For whosoever, any dispensation, any time, of any creed, of any color, of any background, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad the Bible, the gospel, my friend, is for all. The Bible teaches whosoever will gospel. Amen. Red, yellow, black, or white. When it comes to salvation, we see that it involves the all tonight. That's me. That's you. That's the man down the street. That's everyone tonight. That's the person you work beside. That's the person that's heard the gospel multiple times and the one that's never heard it once. I see the all. Then I want you to notice the arrangement. All that the Father giveth me. Now they would say tonight that, well, it's only the ones the Father gives. I can agree with that. But as I mentioned this morning, who has the Father given to Jesus Christ to be saved? That's the big question. All that the Father giveth me. Well, who is that tonight? Who has the Father given to Jesus to be saved? The answer's in that book. He's given to Jesus Christ all that will come to him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that is thirsty, let him come. And he that hath no money, let him come. Let him come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Hold ye to the waters. Isn't that what the book says? The waters of salvation tonight. Listen, God will save anybody. God will save everybody. God will save them anywhere at any time if they'll just come tonight. The arrangement, the Father, he made the way. And he said, all that the Father hath given to me. Who is he given? I'll tell you who he's given. He's given the entire world. Amen. That whosoever, for God so loved the world, amen. He loved the world. He loved the generation before us. He loves the generation that we're in now. He loves the generation that'll come behind us. He loves generations in eternity or in the past. He loves the generations, my friend, that is in the future. I'm saying tonight, the arrangement is that God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He gave the only son he had so that every man, woman, boy, and girl could hear the gospel and could be saved. And tonight, if you want to be saved, you can be saved. That is the arrangement tonight. I know I shared this testimony before, but it bears repeating for this text. A lady came down one time to the altar to me and my wife, and my wife and I dealt with her for a few moments, and she had a hard time getting saved. The gospel is easy. Salvation is easy. But she had a hard time struggling. We kept talking with her a few moments. And I said to her, I said, man, why do you think you can't be saved? She said, I'm afraid that I've crossed God's deadline. I said, what makes you think that? She said, I don't know, but what if I have? I said, do you want to be saved? She was crying, weeping. She said, I want to be saved. I said, you can be saved. Amen. Amen. I said, if you cross God's deadline, you wouldn't even want to be saved. Amen. You know what? God turned the light on. I didn't turn the light on, but God turned the light on. She got saved. Amen. You know, I'm going to tell you tonight, if you want to be saved, we have to understand something tonight. Hell is real. The fires of hell is real tonight. The wrath of God is real tonight. The judgment of God is real. But there is another side of this tonight. The mercy of God is just as real as the wrath, the judgment of God. And the love of God is as real as the wrath of God. Why did God send his son to die on a cross and give his life's blood? Why did God give the only son he had and then try to keep man from being saved or play games with man about getting saved? Oh no, friend. He opened the floodgate. He opened it wide open. He arranged it at Calvary so that anybody can come. All are welcome, thank God. He's inviting you to be saved. Amen. I think some people get saved because God swings them out over hell in their mind's eye, and that's what it takes for them to get saved. It takes that dramatic of a touch in their mind, the reality of I'm going to hell. But some people get saved because they have a tender heart and they hear the gospel. And they're moved by the love of God that he would give Jesus to die for their sins. And they just come. And they just accept him. Isn't that a wonderful way to get saved? Thank God if you come down the aisle, I'm telling you, with scared that you're going to drop off into hell any second. But thank God if you come down the aisle saying, I want salvation. I want that peace. I want to be born again. You see, the ultimate end of it is you came. Amen. It doesn't really matter what it was, which way it was that drew you tonight. If you came to the cross, if you came to Christ, that's the arrangement. That's what the Father wants. He wants you to come to the Son. Amen. You know the tragedy of somebody going to hell is that the Father gave the Son for them just like he did everyone else. They had a pardon. They could have been saved, but they chose not to accept it. The arrangement. Then I want you to see the access. All that the Father giveth me, notice this, shall come to me. The access is that you can come. Tonight I want to tell you, you can come to Christ. You can be saved. The Spirit and the bride say come. And then tonight, not only the access, but I want you to see the ability. He says it again, him and him that cometh to me. God gives us the ability to come. Now the Calvinists would say tonight that he only gives the elect. You know the funny thing about Calvinism is this. You never meet a Calvinist who believes anybody in his family was elected to go to hell. Now what about that? You meet a man, he's a Calvinist because he read after Calvinism and he took up that theory. He believes all of his family can be saved. He believes all of them can. I want to tell you something. I'm not that dumb tonight. Can I get an amen right there? You're not that dumb tonight. That's the teaching of man, but the teaching of Christ is this, is that he gave every man the ability to come. You know, we all are on different levels tonight, aren't we? I don't want to do an IQ test. Somebody say amen. You know, 0 to 25, I'm just going to tell you, if you look it up, 0 to 25 is what they call an idiot. I'm just telling you this. It's true. 25 to 50 is what they call an imbecile, and then 50 to 75 is a moron, and then anything beyond 75 is what they call normal. Now, you can look that up on the internet if you don't believe what I'm telling you. And you know, everybody knows the internet don't lie, amen? So you can look that up, but that's what it is. I mean, you know, that's what driving in the middle of the night will do, amen, for you. But, I mean, it really does say that. And so, you know, if you think about that tonight, let's just be honest, and I'm not labeling anybody. Please don't get nervous, amen. I don't want to be labeled neither. But there are different levels of IQs in this walk of life. But when it comes to the gospel tonight, I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit can do. He can take the Word of God, and he can put it on anybody's level at any point, and he can reveal the truth of the Word of God to them, and also tonight, he can reveal their own need for Christ. He can show them where they stand. Now, that may be somebody at 6 years old. That may be somebody at 60 years old tonight. It may be somebody at 16 years old tonight, but what the Holy Ghost does is he takes the gospel, and I do believe in Holy Ghost conviction, amen, but what Holy Ghost conviction is, as I said last Sunday, it's God taking the truth of the Word of God and giving us knowledge, turning the light on, letting us see it for what it is, and bringing it personal to our life. The moment the Word of God is made personal, then we're held accountable, aren't we? You take a child that doesn't understand the gospel but wants to be saved, they're still in that state of innocence tonight because they've not reached the age of accountability. But once they fully understand the gospel, the Spirit of God turns the light on and they see the need, then they are a candidate for salvation. And I'm glad tonight, he knows when to turn the light on. You say, when's he going to turn the light on, Brother Gravely? I'll tell you when he's going to turn it on. He's going to turn it on when they can fully comprehend how to be saved. And tonight, there is the access, and then there is the assurance. Notice this tonight. I will in no wise cast out. What a promise tonight. I will in no wise. Plain old Georgia language, that means no way, no how, ain't happening. Amen. I will in no wise cast out.
You know what I found out in the Gospels and throughout the Word of God when it comes to salvation? Over and over, it doesn't matter if you're in Romans, doesn't matter if you're in John, it doesn't matter what book you're in, this is what the Gospel, the consistency of the Gospel is this. It gives you a clear presentation and it gives you a clear promise. Amen? The Gospel tells you how to be saved, whatever book you want to go to. John wrote, Romans wrote, it gives you a clear presentation. Here's how you get saved. And here's your clear promise that is taken care of, that we trust the Word of God. You know, tonight there's absolutely no reason for anyone to struggle tonight with their salvation. It happens. It happens to all of God's children. Sometimes you may be here and say, I've never doubted. Thank God for that. But I believe tonight one of the fiery darts of Satan is to be able to come and cast seeds of doubt, or just those darts of doubt that says, what if you're not saved? What if you didn't do everything right? What if you didn't mean it? I'm going to tell you something about the Holy Ghost. That's not conviction, that's confusion. Why would God ask you a question he already knows the answer to? And if he ever asks you a question, you look back through the Bible, every time God asks a question, it was always to this end, to give clear light to the answer. When he walked through the garden and said, Adam, where art thou? In just a moment, Adam knew where he was. When he said, who told thee thou wast naked? He knew who told him was naked. It was not to create confusion in the life of Adam. I'll tell you what it was. It was for Adam to acknowledge at that very moment. You know what that question did? It didn't raise another question. It didn't cause confusion. It didn't make Adam sit there and say, well, I don't know. What about this? What if it? No. You know what it did? It immediately, that question that God asked Adam shined light in Adam's life to the truth. And I'm going to tell you something. If God ever does ask a question, it is only to bring you to the end, to bring you to light over what the need is in your life so you can do something about it. And I'll tell you what the devil will do. He'll sit there and cast darts in your mind just like this. Say, well, what if you didn't mean it that day? Or what if you wasn't under conviction? Or what if you didn't repent? Or what if you didn't say the right thing? And I'll tell you, just the question will just keep on rolling and keep on rolling. And if you listen to that, you know what will happen? You'll wind up in a yo-yo. Amen. And you'll never, but if you come to the Word of God, I'm telling you what the Word of God does. Conviction is clear. Conviction confirms. Amen. And the Word of God always gives clarity to the truth of where you stand with Him tonight. As we stand, they get us a song ready. What Jesus says is a contradiction to Calvinism tonight. And I'm glad tonight that I am not trusting Calvinism. I'm glad tonight I'm trusting Christ. Tonight our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, as our heads are bowed, eyes are closed for just a moment, are you saved tonight? If you need to come tonight and be saved, you ought to come right now. You ought to come and accept Christ tonight as your Savior. Just simple faith, simple trusting Him. If you'll come to Him tonight, He will save you. That's all you got to do. Lord, would you take me tonight as a sinner in need of a Savior? Lord, I accept you tonight as my Savior. Well, Brother Gravely, why can't I just say that in my seat? Well, because that's pride. If you'll just come and humble yourself, it's not, you're not saying it before us, but you're just coming to Him. And if you'll come to Him, He'll take you tonight. You may be here tonight, you may be saved, but you may have struggled with doubts. Don't you let those fiery darts trip you up and rob you of your joy of salvation tonight. Put your trust in the Bible, the facts, not in the feelings. And the Lord will help you tonight while Brother Dathan sings. You obey God if you need to use the altar.